This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil.
He is the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He is the Republican nominee for that office in this big election year, 2009, and he's one of the longest regular guests on this program, a very good friend of Charlottesville Right Now. He is Bill Bowling. How are you, sir?
Hey, Coy, I'm doing good. I enjoyed that. A little Margaritaville coming in there. I like that.
There you go. Yeah, that's a keeper. So where are you?
It soothes me from all the tensions of the campaign trail.
Hey, I have to tell you, the Sorensen Institute, folks know that I work there and am proud to do so. We hosted an event down in Danville Monday night, and we had Bob McDonald, the Republican nominee for governor, down there. Over 220 people showed up for a wonderful, civil, very enlightening and edifying discussion about policy issues and policy challenges facing the Commonwealth. And he fielded questions from the audience and spoke for a while. That whole I'll share some of that audio with listeners of this program, but the entire event is podcast at the Sorensen site. And he and his crew and his campaign, they've been out on the road across the South Side, and I think they're over towards Tidewater today. But tell me, share some stories from the road for us. How is the campaign going?
Well, I think, we're both working very hard to get our message of restoring economic opportunity and restoring fiscal integrity to state government out to the voters. We're 81 days away from Election Day, and that means you're spending a lot of time on the road. I was down in the Hampton Roads area on Monday. Yesterday I was out in Roanoke and Stanton, and today we had some events here around Richmond. I'm getting ready to head up to Orange County tonight, Northern Virginia tomorrow. So we're all spending a lot of time on the road, but we're getting a good response, Coy, everywhere we go. I mean, if you really go back on your show and the interviews that we've had a couple years ago, if you remember, I kicked off this thing called 100 Ideas for the Future of Virginia.
Yeah, I remember that.
And what I said at the time was that I wanted to use that as a vehicle to get our Republican Party back to being a party of big issues and big ideas, talking about the things that mattered to families and businesses. And that was incredibly successful, and what Bob and I have done is taken that effort and made it the foundation of our campaigns, for his campaign for governor and my campaign for reelection to the office of lieutenant governor. And it's enabled us to, offer up realistic and workable plans to get the economy moving again and create jobs, restore fiscal integrity to state government, and deal with other challenges like education, transportation, health care. It's a very positive message, and people are responding to that message. We're just very, very pleased with the response and the support that we're developing all across the state.
We're talking with Bill Bowling. He's the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now, coming up, if y'all win, I'll tell you what, coming up next year, it doesn't matter who is governor or lieutenant governor, but there's going to be some tough decisions to make when it comes to the budget. And from what I was hearing at the event in Danville Monday night is, folks are saying, look, we have cut everything we could possibly cut. The next thing we cut are jobs. And, there was one guy there, a clerk of the court down there. He said, I'm going to have to close the court if we cut anymore. We are really in tough times. There's some really hard decisions that are going to have to be made when y'all get together next year to talk about this budget. What are your thoughts going into this? Because this is really tough for people.
Well, my thoughts, first of all, are that it's important to remember that to a certain extent, the magnitude of this crisis that we face is a crisis of our own making. Once again, if you go back a couple years ago on your show, for 2 years now, I've been sounding the warning that we had a budget that was fiscally unsound and imprudent. We had a budget that was based on overly optimistic revenue projections, the use of one-time money to pay for ongoing government programs, spiraling amounts of state debt, raids on the rainy day fund, federal bailout dollars. We were making promises we couldn't keep with money we didn't have. And unfortunately, as my daddy used to say when I was a little boy, sooner or later the chickens always come home to roost. And what's happening now is that all the budget gimmicks are gone and the chickens are coming home to roost. And, of course, last week Governor Kaine came out and said, yeah, we're going to have a budget shortfall, could be as big as $1.5 billion in the current fiscal year. But that's the tip of the iceberg. You know, the big hit is going to come in the next biennial budget because that's when those federal bailout dollars, that $2.1 billion in federal stimulus money that we use to balance the budget, runs out. So when you look at $1.5 billion in the current fiscal year and over $2 billion in the next biennium, that's before, by the way, we re-benchmark the standards of quality for public education and the mandated spending associated with Medicaid. We could easily be looking at another $4 or $5 billion in budget shortfalls over the course of the next 30 months. So that's a serious challenge. It means that we're going to have to make some very tough decisions. There are only two ways you balance a budget: you raise taxes or you cut spending. We're not going to raise taxes because people are already overtaxed. They're not undertaxed. We're going to have to reduce spending. We've got to bring spending in line with the money we have available to pay for it. That means we're going to have to prioritize programs. And Coy, it's going to be heavy lifting. I don't want to minimize that for anybody. It is a serious challenge. It's going to require serious leadership. This I know, we can't trust the people who created the mess to fix the mess. If we want the mess fixed, we're going to have new leadership in Richmond that understands fundamental principles of sound budgeting, and unfortunately the lack of those principles is in large part responsible for the problem we have today.
My guest is Bill Bowling, the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Republican nominee for that office this year. The phone lines are open for you. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 977-1070. I know he'd love to hear from you. Pick up your phone and talk to the Lieutenant Governor. Bill, I know that any day now we're expecting Governor Kaine to come forward and make his big announcement, which is, what is the exact number that he is planning on cutting from the budget. And then a lot of folks here in Charlottesville, especially at the University of Virginia, which they're just holding their breath, wondering, what's this going to look like? And is the university going to be looking at layoffs? But this is a story that's happening all across the Commonwealth. And I guess that big announcement is supposed to come next week or the week after.
It is. I believe it's next Thursday. I don't have my calendar in front of me, and I may have the date wrong, but I believe it's next Thursday. And, you know, at a minimum, Coy, those reductions are going to be – now, remember, we're just talking right now about the current fiscal year, but at a minimum, they're going to be $750 million. At a maximum, they'll probably be about $1.5 billion. I think it's probably prudent for the governor to go ahead and propose larger reductions as opposed to smaller reductions. The Governor's Council on Economic Advisors last week said what a lot of us have known for a long time, the revenue projection of 4.4% that this budget, this revised budget, was based on was an error. They're now saying revenues will probably decline again in the 2010 fiscal year by 1.3%. So I don't think things are going to get better in the short term. And then when you consider the fact that we also have the stimulus money going away in the next biennium, I think the more prudent course is to go ahead and make the larger reductions now. This is not an easy process, but it's something that families have had to do over the last couple of years. It's something businesses have had to do, and we're going to have to make these tough decisions. I will say this with respect to higher education. In the last few budget cycles, higher education has taken a brunt of these cuts. And because of that, you know, we've seen tuition go up for in-state students at our four-year colleges and universities by 95% and at our community colleges by 125%. So my hope is that there will be further reductions, I'm certain, in higher education, but my hope is that higher education can take less of a brunt of these cuts this time, because goodness knows they've taken the larger brunt of it the last couple of times around.
We're talking with Bill Bowling, and we got some folks that want to say hey to you. Charles is online, too. Charles, thanks for the call. You're on with Bill Bowling. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you. I believe a couple of moments ago the words were, we cannot govern through the use of gimmicks. And I would ask that we sometimes, unfortunately, run for office on gimmicks, and would ask about the gimmick of no car tax and the net deficit effect on revenues to the Commonwealth.
Well, there's no question but that the car tax proposal that was implemented back in, I guess it goes all the way back to 1998 now, ended up being a more costly venture than it was projected to be. I'm not going to pretend to get the numbers right because it was 10 years ago, but I think when the original discussions of the car tax elimination were taking place, the fiscal impact estimates were something like $400 million or $500 million, and they ended up being about twice that. The General Assembly a few years ago, because of those escalating costs, froze the amount of car tax reimbursement that was going back to local governments, so that hasn't actually increased over the last two or three years. It's now more of a set amount in the state budget. But look, you know, I think we're just going to have to be very prudent about how we spend money. This effort to restore fiscal integrity to government is going to have to take a couple forms. First of all, we're going to have to make sure that our budgets are based on a sound financial foundation. That means having realistic revenue projections and not using gimmicks like one-time revenue sources to pay for ongoing programs and transferring cash-funded capital projects and making them debt-funded capital projects. We've got to have a solid financial foundation that is realistic and achievable. And then secondly, once we figure out what that foundation is and how much money we have to work with, we've got to reduce spending to match up with the available revenue we have to pay for it. And, you know, the Constitution of Virginia requires that we have a balanced budget. But the truth is that our budget today is only balanced on paper. If you eliminate these revenue projections, if you eliminate these budget gimmicks that have been used, the truth is that the budget is not in balance, and it hasn't been in balance for the last three or four years. So we've got to get back to that solid foundation. Then we've got to rein in spending so that we're not spending more money than we're taking in. It will be a readjustment process to get there, but it is a process that we're going to have to go through, because if we continue down the road we're on right now, we're going to jeopardize our standing as the best-managed state in America. We're going to jeopardize our AAA bond rating. And, Coy, I would just remind you and your listeners that in October of 2008, I believe it was Business Week magazine, for the first time put Virginia on a list of 20 states in America that couldn't pay its bills. And that is not a list that we want to be on.
Charles, great call. Thank you so much. And Margo has a question for you, Bill. Go right ahead, Margo, real quick, and then we'll break for news. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering whether the mandate that Governor Kane put in for the cervical shot for young teenage girls is still going to be put in place. It doesn't cover all cervical cancers, and plus that, it's an expensive program, and thirdly, it's the safety of it has not been proven.
Well, I'll, Coy, knowing that you're getting ready to break for news, I'll try to be quick in responding to Margo's question. There was some money in the budget, I think in 2008, that helped make the cervical cancer vaccine, the so-called HPV vaccine, available to low-income women who could not otherwise afford it. Wasn't made available. It wasn't targeted toward young girls. It was made available to any women in a low-income status who could not otherwise afford the vaccine. I supported that. I forget the amount of money that was put in for it. I think that money is still there, but as I recall, it wasn't a huge amount of money. My recollection is that it was probably a couple of million dollars. I don't want to say a couple million's not a lot, but in the grand scheme of the budget challenges that we have, it wasn't a lot. But look, at the end of the day, I think that funding and funding in every other area of the state budget is probably going to end up being looked at and scrutinized very closely. And right now, unfortunately, I don't think anyone can rule out reductions in any areas. There certainly will be some areas where we try to minimize those reductions or avoid them if possible, but the order of magnitude of the challenge is such that we're going to have to make very difficult decisions, and those difficult decisions could affect most areas and probably will affect most areas of the budget.
Margo, thank you for the call. Great question. Bill Bowling is the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Republican nominee for that office. Always great to talk to you, and look forward to talking to you again next month. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Coy. Have a great day.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.